back to the Gospel of John again this morning, and we're as we work through John, we're transitioning into that section where John turns his focus toward the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. So we're in chapter 12, if you want to open up your Bible to chapter 12, we'll be reading from there. We talked a little bit about the beginning of chapter 12 last time I was here, where we read that Jesus' friend Mary anointed his feet with perfume. And Jesus defends her actions by saying that it was intended that she save this perfume for the day of his burial. He's beginning to talk more to his disciples about this time that's coming where he is going to die. Right after that, John focuses on the triumphal entry, that moment that we celebrate every Palm Sunday, where Jesus entered into Jerusalem for the last time before his death, riding on a donkey and being praised by the crowds as the king. And then right after that, where we're going to focus our attention today, John records some things Jesus says as he begins to announce more openly that he is preparing to die. So we're going to pick up the text in John 12, verse 20. I'm going to read just the first couple of verses there to set things up for us. So John 12, 20 is where we're going to begin. It says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast of were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.'" I'm going to pause there for a moment. That analogy that Jesus shared about a seed or a grain of wheat falling to the earth and dying is a really powerful one when you think about it. I have some seeds here, some of these seeds that we handed out at the parade. And, you know, a seed really is an embryonic plant encased in a protective shell. And these can last for years, can't they? We can store them away. They remain dormant. Nothing ever changes about it. It remains a seed. It doesn't grow into anything else. But if you let it sit like this too long, it's going to dry up and wither and die, never accomplishing the purpose that God created it for. It'll just die a seed. In order for the seed and that embryonic plant to grow inside, it must fall to the ground. The outer protective shell has to fall away and decay and expose that delicate embryonic plant to the elements. And there's a struggle involved in that the plant has to take root in the ground. And it has to grow up through the earth. And it's got to face whatever elements, whether it's dry or too wet. There might be something that might trample on it. Animals may come and eat it. There's all kinds of struggles that come. It would be safer to remain in the shell, wouldn't it? It's safe, it's comfortable, but it never accomplishes its purpose. It has to go through that period of dying and struggling in order to accomplish what God made it for. As Jesus puts it, that seed has to die in order to produce new seed. And from that one seed comes a multitude, if only the seed will go through that process of dying and shedding its old shell. And so with that image in mind, we pick up the text again in verse 25. Jesus says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." I'm going to stop right there. So first of all, Jesus says that if anyone wants to fulfill the higher purpose of their life, they need to be like that seed. They have to cast off the things that keep you where you are right now. You have to let go of what's comfortable and familiar, what feels safe. You have to allow your current self to die off in order to grow into something new. And if you're too attached to your current habits, your current focus in life, your current ways of thinking, your current ability, all of those things, you're just going to remain as you are. And you can go through life like that, never accomplishing all that God made you for. Just like the seed. We have to be willing to let go. I forgot to bring this up on my phone. There's a quote on the PowerPoint. Lynn, could you put that second slide up? Sorry. Oh, do you know what? It's not even there. I forgot to put it up on the... It's my fault. I got distracted by other things. I didn't even put my PowerPoint in the order for this morning. I'll just read the quote for you. I don't have to see it to see it. When I was talking about this message to Wendy, she shared this quote that she had found that fits so well. It says, "Don't hold together what must fall apart. The familiar life crumbles so the new life can begin." That's exactly what Jesus is saying, right? We have to let go of the familiar, allow it to die away. We have to become something new. And in order to become something new, we have to let go of what we already know. And we tend to hang on to those things, though. Like I've already said, they're comfortable, they're familiar, we understand it, we know what we're capable of, we feel capable, we feel good. And we start to feel incapable, we start to feel like we don't know what we're doing, that's when we tend to shy back. But that's exactly where God wants us to go, in order to become something new, in order to accomplish something greater in our lives. Now, this is a universal truth for all people. You cannot grow and accomplish greater things in your life. You can't get to a new level of fruitfulness or strength or skill without allowing the familiar that you currently have to die away. And this is a continual cycle that we have to go through in life. If we just live our current abilities, if we just live in our current life, if you start to feel comfortable with that, you have to start asking yourself, well, what should I be doing next? What does God want from me next? Because God doesn't necessarily want us to be comfortable all the time. Now, that doesn't mean life is always going to be hard and terrible. There's joy to be found in becoming something new, right? The seed that grows into a plant becomes something wonderful and beautiful. There is a struggle to go through, but it comes so much greater. And that's the exact thing that God wants for us. This past week, we're getting ready for fall sports season. Soccer season starts on Monday. And so there was a speaker at the school talking to students and parents and giving inspiration that's similar to what Jesus was talking about here, telling athletes that in order to become stronger, better, faster, whatever it is, they have to be willing to let go of where they currently are. They have to be willing to move past their current abilities. And so often what we see students and athletes doing is just doing what they always know how to do. They don't really push to get better. They just hang on to what's comfortable and familiar. And think about the Olympics, right? All those people who made it to the Olympic Games have had to constantly renew themselves, remake themselves, push past their current familiarity. That's, like I said, this is a universal truth. If any of us is going to grow into greater capabilities, we have to shed what we're currently hanging on to. We have to be willing to let that part fall away. And one day be able to look back and say, wow, look how far I've come. We have to embrace the difficulty that comes with it, the hard work, the exposure to new things, in order to grow into those things. But there's another aspect of all this to consider, I think, of what Jesus calls us to. He finishes this statement by saying that those who will serve him need to follow him. He says, wherever he is, his servant will be, and the Father will honor those who serve him. Now, Jesus literally came to give up his life. We all know that one of his purposes, in order to fulfill it, he had to die. He gave of himself for a much greater reward and purpose than living his life could offer. And that purpose was not for himself, but for all of mankind and for the glory of God the Father. So Jesus was sacrificing himself not to get something for himself, not to grow greater himself, but to give something to everyone else and to give glory to the Father by accomplishing the Father's will. And so Jesus is not asking us to follow his example for the sake of self-improvement. He's not calling us to accomplish great personal achievements or find new personal records in our life. He is asking us to follow him and giving our lives for the glory of God. In John 15:12, Jesus records the command to love one another as he has loved us. And then in John 15:13, the next verse, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends." And then finally he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And if you string all those things together and you think about it in terms of what Jesus is saying to follow him, to die to our current self, to accomplish greater purposes, I thought, what a powerful vision this is for us. And what a great challenge it is to accept. To be a friend of Jesus is to do as he commands, which is to love one another as he has loved us, by laying down our lives for each other. That's the kind of shedding of ourselves that Jesus is calling for. Letting go of what's familiar and comfortable and what feels good to us in order to accomplish God's purposes. To lay down our lives for the sake of other people. Loving as Jesus did. We're not just letting go of those things, but also letting go of what makes life all about us. So instead of choosing a life, or instead, God, he's calling us to choose a life of fulfilling God's purposes. And those purposes are things like loving others, sharing God's grace, embracing closeness and fellowship with the Lord, representing him and his goodness, being a beacon of light, being part of God's redemptive work to overcome the impact of sin in the world. How are we applying ourselves to all those things? And in order to accomplish those great purposes, we have to let go of who we currently are. Let go of the things that we're familiar with. We have to die to ourselves and live for God instead. The reward gained in all of this is to be with Jesus and to be honored by God. There's no greater reward available in this life. To be with Jesus and honored by God. So when Jesus says we need to lose our lives and follow him, he's calling on us to let go of what's familiar and comfortable in order to accomplish his purposes, to be productive for his sake, for his glory and honor. Giving up your life, your desires, your choices, giving up control over what happens to you for the sake of what Jesus wants to accomplish through you. To share his gift of grace and love with the world. Now, we know that doesn't always mean literally dying the way Jesus did. Though for many Christians, it has meant that. There are countless Christians who have given up their lives literally for the sake of Christ. Now, it's not the same as Jesus dying for us. They never considered that a comparison at all. They were willing to give up their life for Jesus' sake. They went where Jesus wanted them to go. They sought to share his love, to represent him in the world. They stood on their faith, refusing to reject Jesus, rather than embracing safety for themselves. And their loss of life was not a failure. It was through their sacrifice that many people came to understand who Jesus is and what he did for them. It was worth dying for, that others could know Jesus. That's an example of the kind of life Jesus is calling us to let go of and embrace instead and to grow into. And it's not the calling for everyone. It also doesn't mean when we say die to yourself and give your life to Jesus instead, it doesn't mean that God will ignore real needs in your life or that you have to give up every desire and joy. Sometimes we start to get the idea, and we've seen examples of this, of people feeling like in order to serve God, I have to just give up everything. And life becomes misery for me because I'm constantly giving everything away and I'm depleted and drained. Because the needs are never met. that's not really giving our life for Jesus. That's going beyond what Jesus ever asked. Because part of the life that Christ gives us when we give up our motives and our purposes for him is a life that enjoys fellowship with him. A life that finds joy in God's creation. A life that has moments of rest and Sabbath. Remember, Sabbath is one of God's commands. That's part of the life that Jesus invites us into. We're not meant to go so far that we're hurting ourselves. We are not Jesus. We are not the Holy Spirit, and God knows that. God gives to you as much as he asks you to give away to others. And so we just need to keep that in perspective, I think. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot written about that lately, that as Christians we need to make sure we're taking care of ourselves, and that is very true. But I think Jesus knows, and I think that's why we read so much in Scripture, that we have a tendency to go too far that way. We're like, you know what? This feels good. It feels good to have joy, and it feels good to be comfortable, and we're going to stay in that spot. And so Jesus calls on us, no, you have to die to yourself. He keeps pulling us back in the other direction. He's reminding us that we have to give up our lives for his sake. And we need to use discernment in that. We need to pray and ask Jesus how much to give and when to give and do it for his glory, that we don't go too far with it. I was really struck in this passage in John where Jesus said that where he says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's pretty strong language to say that you have to hate your life in this world to gain eternal life. But I think it's necessary for Jesus to say it that strongly, isn't it? Because we need to get to the point where we despise the way that we're living now in order to be motivated to give it up. We have to see how we're hurting ourselves with sinful habits. We need to see how we're holding ourselves back from accomplishing God's purpose and say, I can't stand this anymore. I want to do more. I want to accomplish more for Christ. That way we will let go of what we're holding on to. God knows how much we cling to those things, and so he keeps calling us to let go, to die to ourselves. It takes a real commitment to the life in Christ and going wherever he leads. It takes eyes to see that life in Christ is better than life in this world. The joys that we find in pursuing things for ourselves, for our own motives, the gains that we have when we focus on personal self-improvement and self-enrichment are only temporary. They don't fulfill the way that a life in Christ does. And as Christians, I think with God's wisdom, we understand that. We have to pursue something greater. Pursue a life that honors him and accomplishes his purposes. That is a life that will be fulfilling to us as well. We need to see a better vision for life. A vision for life with Jesus, who we know is King above kings, far above every power or authority in this life. We need to pursue a life in the Holy Spirit, empowered by God himself, a life filled with hope and the certain knowledge of the faithfulness of the Father, the creator of life. That's what we're being invited into. We can only accomplish that if we will release our current state of being, let go of wanting life for ourselves in the way we want it. Is it worth it? Is it worth the struggle and the effort that sometimes come with it? Is it worth being exposed to harsh conditions in the world? Is it worth having to learn new things, to live new ways, maybe letting go of some of the things that we wanted to accomplish in life? Jesus thought so. Jesus thought that God's purposes were worth giving up his own life for. And in fact, and going back to John one more time, in verse 27, he says, now is my soul troubled. And just stop there and think about the state of Jesus' heart and mind at that point, when he knew he was going to die within the next few days. How troubled he must have been at that thought. How hard that would have been. What a struggle to know what was coming like that. And then he goes, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. But what I want to highlight there is Jesus' attitude. He says, he said this for our sake. He says, I am troubled, but I'm not going to call out to the Father to let this pass me by. I'm not going to ask God for a reprieve. I'm not going to ask him to make my life easier right now. I'm not going to ask him to find a different way. I am going to embrace that this sacrifice will bring glory to God and accomplish his purposes. That's exactly what he's calling on us to do. Whenever we face difficulty for the sake of Christ, and I want to emphasize for the sake of Christ, we can find all kinds of difficulty in life, right? If we're facing difficulty for the sake of Christ, if we're being called to something that is hard, called to let go of things that we wanted, called to live in new ways, should we ask God to take that away from us? There's greater glory in accomplishing God's purposes. Let's embrace that difficulty as an opportunity to draw close to God and allow him to walk us through it. Jesus knew that his life was a seed and he needed to fall to the ground and die in order to accomplish its purpose. And God is asking us to do the same. If Jesus was willing to give all of himself, can we not be willing to give up some of our comforts, some of our self-determination, some of our goals in life for a greater purpose, for the purposes of the Lord, to make his grace known, to enjoy a life of connection with him, to be freed from bondage to things in this world that damage and trap us, and to be a light in this dark world? Is it not worth some discomfort for us? Is it not worth dying to ourselves to accomplish those great purposes? These things that we cling to are often, that give us comfort and familiarity, are things that many people would call the ordinary life. But we are called to live an extraordinary life, a life that is available to you that will only come when you let go those things that hold you back. Release your life to Jesus and let him have control of it. So let's be like those seeds. Ask God to show us what we need to let go of. Invite God to lead us into unfamiliar and uncomfortable territory so that we can accomplish greater purposes with him in our lives. That is the path that Jesus invites us into, and there's such glory for God to be found. Let us embrace that full of faith and joy, because we want to see God glorified in all we do. Let's praise him. Give him thanks today. And we'll sing this last song and enjoy some fellowship together ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life that you invited us into. Help us all to see a greater vision for life, a life that gives glory to you in all that we do, wherever we work, wherever we play, whatever relationships we have, Lord. Help us to see the opportunity there to glorify you in the way we interact, in the way that we display your character, in the way that your Holy Spirit can work through us, Lord. Help us embrace that life and follow, be willing to follow you wherever you lead. Help us be willing to let go of things that we are clinging to in order to accomplish your purposes instead. And let us do so with joyful hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.